Well, praise the Lord. The word is good.
Amen.
Amen. The word's good. It's our answer. It's our help. Praise God. I love his word. I hope you love his word. His word is an anchor to us. You know, when the world, you know, not just because of this, you know, we know that in the world we have things that come against us at times. And it can rock and roll us a little bit, you know, the wind and the waves and the boats filling up and storms beating against us at times. But his word is an anchor. It keeps us steady. When all hell's breaking loose financially, his word keeps us grounded in prosperity. When all hell's breaking loose in the physical realm and sickness and disease and deaths and things, his word keeps us grounded in protection and healing. Amen. He's got answers for us. And so I'm so excited. I hope that you're taking this time seriously because God's got answers for us, not only for the here and now, but going forward. And so we're just going to believe him for utterance tonight and believe him for boldness. And whatever he wants to say, he's going to say it. Amen. He knows what you need to hear better than I do. So let's ask him for some help tonight. Father, we do love you so much. We're just so grateful and thankful to be called the children of God. Father, you have put us in a position of victory, put us in a position of success. Father, failure should not even be in our vocabulary. Quit should not even be in our vocabulary. We can't shouldn't even be in our vocabulary because we can. Because we have you, Father. We have the victory. We have the greater one. We're more than conquerors. We are overcomers. You always cause us to triumph. Praise God. Father, I thank you. You've given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. Father, you gave us the Holy Ghost, the all-knowing one, the future teller himself, the comforter, the standby. You stepped outside of a box, Father, and came inside to live inside your children. Father, you have set us up for victory. You said through Jesus that we should reign in life. Not be overcome, not be reigned upon, but reign in life. So, Father, I thank you for the position of victory, for the position of help you've put us in. And, Father, it all comes through your word. So, Father, help us to say what needs to be said tonight. Do what you want to do. Father, you know what people need to hear. We thank you for utterance. Thank you for bullseyes being hit in people's hearts. Lives will be changed tonight. Destinies will be overturned. Help, hope, and comfort will be offered. Answers will be offered here tonight. Faith injections will be given tonight. And, Father, we'll walk out of this place changed. We'll leave this service different tonight, Father. We're in great expectation of what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, we've been going to a scripture, can't get off the scripture. We've been leaping from a certain place. So go to John 16 and verse 33 is where we'll start. John 16 and verse 33, praise his name forevermore. Hallelujah, thank God for the word. Oh, man, thank God for the word. The Bible says, Jesus talking, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you'll have peace. This is why we need to get the word out about what we're doing around here. Amen. That's why we need people tuning in to the Good Friday service, to the Easter morning service. Why? Because we're going to present the one that can give them peace. Because the world doesn't offer you peace. The world offers you turmoil. There's people that have lived their whole life, years and years, in nothing but turmoil. In nothing but poverty. In nothing but sickness. You know, playing the hand they were dealt. Whether their last name, whatever culture they grew up in, whatever family and the genetics and stuff. Just playing the hand they're dealt with. And sometimes the hand we're dealt is anguish and distress. And turmoil. And some people have lived that their whole lives, but Jesus said there's a difference with him. You can't find this peace in the bar. I better say it again. You can't find this peace in a bar. You can't find this peace in an addiction. You can't find this kind of peace in a hobby. You can't find this kind of peace in money. You can't find this kind of peace in a TV show. Jesus said, in Him, He offers peace, but His peace is perfect peace. Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich with no sorrow. These other things can bless you seemingly for a season or for a short time, but if it's not Him, it's never peace. It's always going to be laced with something you don't want. If you're putting your hope in your money, you're in for some trouble. If you're putting your hope in your genetics and the family genetics, that's going to lead to trouble. If you're putting your hope in your job, putting your hope in the economy, putting your hope in whatever that's not Jesus, it's not going to lead to anything but sorrow. In Him is peace. That's why we try to stay in Him. Because I like staying in peace, praise God. He says, in the world you'll have tribulation. What's that mean? As long as we're in this world, tribulation's going to be a real thing. That's not a bad faith confession. That's a truth. But He didn't say you'll have tribulation, therefore jump into the Eeyore spirit.
Come on.
That's the Eeyore spirit. Oh, what am I going to do? In the world, I'm going to have tribulation, and I'm in the world. But He didn't say, in the world, you have tribulation. So put on the Eeyore spirit. He said, in the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Amen. Not the Eeyore spirit. He says, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. And He's in us. Praise God. We can overcome because He overcame. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We've been given His name. He gave us authority to what? To be like Him on the earth. Which is what? Overcome. Praise God. But the Bible says here that in the world we'll have tribulation. That's tests. Well, we know with natural tests, the resolve of natural tests depends on your answer. Doesn't it? You put the right answers down, you pass the test. Amen? You put the wrong answers down, and you don't pass the test. Our answers matter. I want to show you in Luke 4 real quick. Luke chapter 4. Jesus was tested, and again, He passed the test based on His answers. Based on how He answered the test, Jesus passed that test. Our answers matter. They answer in the natural realm. They matter in the spiritual realm. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted, or tested, you could say, of the devil. And in those days He did eat nothing, and when they were ended, He afterward hungered. And the devil said unto Him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Notice Jesus answered. Devil came with a test, Jesus answered. Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, the devil said unto him, all this power I'll give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you will therefore worship me, all will be yours. And again, Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan. It's written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall you serve. And the devil brought him to a pinnacle and set him on, brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you shall dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answering again, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation or the testing, he departed for a season. So we see Jesus was tested. And Jesus had answers to the tests. Amen. Jesus was perfect. He always answered right. And we see Jesus answering right. But what I want you to see is in verse 13, where it says, when the devil ended all the testing, and we know that Jesus got through that testing with the right answers. You know why you go from fourth to fifth grade? Because you get the right answers. And you go from fifth grade to sixth grade because you put the right answers down. Amen? One time, what was the test? I can't remember what the test. It might have been biology, or I'm not sure what it was, but a vacation for me with my friends down to the Outer Banks. I had wanted to go on this trip. It was with Pastor Tim and his family. Wanted to go on this trip for years and years and years, and finally an opportunity arose this summer for me to go down to the Outer Banks with them and their family. He always come back, tell me how wonderful it was, but the problem was I passed or failed one of my finals had the wrong answers, and so I couldn't go forward into that vacation because I had to stay back, take summer school, and pass that test. If we're going to go to new levels, we got to pass the tests. Jesus passed the test with the right answers, but here's what I want you to see. The Bible says the devil departed him for a season. What's that mean? The devil's going to come back around with more tests to Jesus. Now, here's what I want to say. The world right now is in a test. I've talked to Christians. You're in a test right now. Some people haven't been affected at all in the sense of, maybe your income hasn't been cut. But every single one of us has been affected in some way or impacted some way by the coronavirus and the test that's going on right now. And a lot of people have been affected in a major way. We've been talking about this kind of things in these tests right now. Unemployment checks are not the same as your regular checks. Maybe business isn't doing the same output and things coming in or whatever that normally were happening. There's talk nonstop on the news of diseases and sickness and all this stuff about fear. And you go into the grocery store and shelves are empty and you can't just go and buy things that you normally would. It's a test right now. Yeah. But here's the thing, and this is what I want to, Jesus warned us about this. Well, your pastor's been shouting this for the last 10 years. Not prophesying coronavirus, don't misunderstand me, but that we have to be ready for tests. Because sometimes they're pop-up quizzes. Oh, I hated pop-up quizzes. You want to know why I hated pop-up quizzes? Because I was never ready. I hardly ever went into school prepared. Yet alone on the day when I knew there was going to be a test, few and far between would I go prepared, but never when there wasn't an announced test was I ever prepared if there was going to be one, and a pop-up quiz always got me. Well, the coronavirus was a pop-up test for people. But what I want you to see is that this is not the end of testing for us. And I said in the video I sent out this week, what a precious time this is. And I look at it as a precious time. You say, what? Pastor Mike, are you excited about the coronavirus? No, but I'm excited about what this test is putting in me. I'm excited about what this test is putting in our church. What do you mean by that, Pastor Mike? Well, people are actually having to believe God. See, a lot of times people's paychecks just covered everything, and you never had to use faith for your finances. A lot of times, there's just unlimited supplies of things, and you never had to use faith to get your toilet paper or your cleaning wipes or whatever it would be. You didn't have to even think about going out in public and potentially catching a deadly virus. Just not something we have to think about. And now people are forced to use their faith, to trust God, to believe God. Precious things are being put in us. But what you have to understand and recognize, this is not the end of testing. Amen. The Bible says that the devil left Jesus for a season. Right now, we're in a season of testing, but there'll be other seasons of testing. And I'm not doom and gloom preacher, I'm not. We don't have doom and gloom. The Christian should not live in doom and gloom. The world should live in doom and gloom. Why? The world, all they have is tribulation, but we have peace. No matter how dark it gets out there, we still have our peace. We still have our answer. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible prophesies that as we get closer to the day that Jesus comes back, it's not going to get calmer out in the world. It's not going to get sweeter out in the world. It's not going to get easier out in the world. It's going to get darker, and it's going to be more tumultuous. It's going to be more tribulation in the world. And so we are going to see things in our lifetime that are going to cause us to have to pass the test. And what an opportunity right now to start doing the right thing, putting the right things, but preparing for the test. Amen. Jesus went into this test, and he passed this test. And you look at Jesus' life, when unexpected things would come up, when crowds would try to take him out or kill him, throw him over cliffs, be angry with him, stop what he's doing here in the wilderness. We don't see Jesus ever failing the test. But Jesus never went into a test unprepared. He was always ready for the test. A pop-up quiz doesn't matter to the person that's prepared. I'm thinking of certain people in my classes, you know, that always passed, always got close to 100s on their tests. It was a shock if some of these people didn't get 100s, you know. Pop quizzes, they look forward to it almost. Because they know I'm ready. I'm going to thrive and get a good grade. I'm going to thrive and get a good grade. I've told you before, and this isn't being prideful. I've had to learn the hard way with things. There's times where the devil has knocked on my door and I have opened it up and there's hell been staring me in the face. And there's times in my past that's caused me to tremble. But things have been put in me and been building myself up. And now when the devil knocks on the door and says, here I am, hell's here, let's go. Bring it on. Let's do this. Amen. Had to take some lumps to get there. Amen. But you can get to a place where no matter what happens in your job, let me just say it this way. If your job and your income has been affected, and you're fearful, and you're worried, and you're agitated, and you're nervous, and you're stressed, and you're anxious, you know what that tells me? You weren't ready for the pop quiz. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. It's the truth. Why? Jesus said that in Him we have peace. Be anxious for nothing. Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't worry about anything. Yeah. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not be afraid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our marching orders. Yeah. Not a suggestion. And if you have been fearful about your money, you are fearful when you go into the store and you can't get everything you used to get and you start to have thoughts. Or this sickness and this disease has terrified you. It's terrified some Christians. You know what that tells me? You weren't prepared for the test.
Right.
Jesus didn't tremble in His tests. Jesus didn't worry in His tests. He was completely confident, but the thing you have to know about Jesus is He walked in prepared.
Yeah.
I trembled when the teacher would say, okay, put your books away. Get out a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. We're going to have a test today. Why you didn't tell me about this? But remember on the boat with the disciples, there arose a great storm of wind. The coronavirus was a there arose. And other things in our lives are going to be there arose great tests for us. But how are we going to respond? Well, how we're prepared will determine how we respond. And if you go back to Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, notice this, the Bible says, and Jesus, being full of the world, returned. Thank you guys for catching that. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Well, what does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? It means to be full of God.
Yes. Amen.
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 That music's not out in the hall, is it? Am I hearing things? I'm hearing things tonight. Wow. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. That means full of God. Praise God. When you're full of something, when you start getting pressed upon, that's going to come out of you. You know, you fill a sponge with grape Kool-Aid and you press on it, milk doesn't come out. Pepsi doesn't come out. Grape Kool-Aid comes out. Why? It's filled with grape Kool-Aid. When you're filled with God and the world starts pressing on you, you know what comes out of you? God comes out of you. Why is that important for God to come out of you? Because He's perfection. He's victorious. He's the God of the impossible. He's not nervous. He's the healer. He's the provider. He's the protector. Amen. And the devil started pushing on Jesus. And what came out of Jesus? God came out of Jesus. Praise God. Why? He was full of Him. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus wasn't full naturally to have victory over His enemy. Jesus was full spiritually to have victory over His enemy. Now, let me first point out to you the realm in which our problems come from. Where our problems manifest is not the root of our problems. What do you mean by that? Well, Your problem might manifest in your bank account and in your checkbook, but that's not the real problem. Your problem may manifest in your body, but that's not the real problem. We don't wrestle against the natural. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. I want to show you this real quick. We see the devil, his tricks are to come back around with tests. You got to pass the test, but he's going to come back around. If we pass our tests or not, determine whether we go forward. I missed out on a vacation because I failed a test. Put the wrong answer down, disqualified. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, that's our adversary. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 calls him our adversary, the devil. He says, well, what you have to know about the devil is he's not natural. The devil's not a natural being. He's a spiritual being. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he's our adversary. What's that mean? He's our opponent. He's the one causing us problems. And here it says you got to put on the armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. He's a wily thing. He comes against you. And then in verse 12 it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He's just said the devil's your problem. And now he says, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's not dollar bills that are your problem. It's not the doctor's report that's your problem. It's not the symptoms in your body that you're feeling are the problem. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those four things are the four levels of Satan's kingdom, or levels of the devil's kingdom. Not natural, spiritual. And he says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. He says our battle, where our fight, our war is won or lost, is not in the natural realm. It manifests in that realm, but it's won or lost in the spiritual realm. Amen. The devil tried to manifest Jesus' problems in the natural. Jump off a cliff. Splat. Splat Jesus. Pancake Jesus. Yeah. That would have manifested the natural. The devil tried to manifest things in the natural. Turn this stone into bread and eat it. That would have been the manifestation, but the problem behind what those manifestations would have been were spiritual. We have to be full spiritually to pass the tests. Now, here's what I want you to see. People spend all day long and in their life naturally building themselves up. What do I mean? Well, we know it takes food to survive. And we know we schedule our lives around breakfast time, lunch time, dinner time. And we make it a point, right, to put natural things in our body. And we should. We should. And it keeps our body strong and built up. We go to the gym. We go for walks to make sure our natural body is taken care of. And you should exercise. Absolutely, there's benefit to it. And we put time sowing into that realm, right? There's things you can do for your mind. People do things that mentally help them and read things and grow their knowledge and sow into that realm. And we spend a lot of time sowing into these things and naturally building ourselves up when our war and our battle is not in that realm. You know why, you know why a bodybuilder, or I'll say it this way, one of those deadlift people that lift the real heavy weights and see how much you can do, you know why they're building up their natural body? Because that's where their battle is, in the natural. It's with a barbell with weights on the end of it. And so they got, since their battle's in the natural, they're building themselves up in the natural because that's what they have to conquer and overcome. And so we as Christians are told that our battle is in the spiritual realm, and yet such little time gets devoted to building and strengthening that realm. Your victory financially does not manifest, or does not, the victory doesn't start in the natural realm. It manifests in the natural realm. Your victory over sickness and disease does not start, the victory doesn't start in the natural realm, it starts in the spiritual realm. That's where the battle is. Amen.
Amen.
Just like there's natural things we do every day, and there's natural things we can do to keep our bodies strong, our bodies healthy, our bodies built up to function and to go forward, to keep our minds built up and things. Just like there's things we can do to keep our spirit man strong. Now, think about this. Our focus should not be the natural. Our focus should not be the natural realm and sowing into the natural realm more than the spiritual realm. Why? That's not where our battle is. Now, this is what this would be like. This would be like a boxer who, he's got a fight scheduled. That means he knows on such and such a date, I have a test. I'm going to stand in a ring across from somebody that's trying to knock me out. So say that fight's scheduled for 6 months down the road. You know what that boxer's doing? That boxer's spending time getting himself prepared and honed for that craft. Hitting the speed bag, hitting the punching bag, sparring, making sure his diet, making sure his cardio's up. He's spending all that time preparing for that realm and that battle. In that realm, praise God. But this is what it would be like how most Christians are, because we're told our fight's in the spiritual realm, but most of our time built up is the natural realm. Entertaining our minds, entertaining our flesh, feeding our flesh. Carnal, carnal, carnal. In the gym, make sure our bodies are good. And we're spending all that time. That would be like a boxer who has a fight 6 months from now, stepping into a ring in a test, spending all his time for 6 months in the batting cages. What's that going to do for you? Nothing. That would be like him all his time at the free throw line practicing his free throws. It doesn't even make sense. Why would he sow? Why would a boxer sow into his free throw shooting or his bunting skills or his layup drills or his golf swing? That's not what you see a boxer doing. See, the boxer knows there's a test coming. There's a test coming from someone that wants to pummel my brains in, that wants to beat me silly, so I got to prepare in that realm. Let me tell you something. There's a devil that the Bible says comes back around in seasons who is our adversary. I mean, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us we're going to have tests. The Bible tells us there's an adversary, an opponent. We don't wrestle in that realm. And here we are when we don't even know when the next test is going to come, and our answers are what gets us to the next level or through that test. And here we are, we spend all our time in the natural, in the carnal, feeding our carnal man. Entertainment, recreation, laziness. And then when the battle comes, yeah. It's like that bodybuilder, you know, that powerlifting is the word I was looking for. They got to lift, you know, they're trying to compete with the people to see who can keep going up and up and lifting. And the whole time Olympics they have for 4 years. 4 years they prepare. That'd be like the powerlifter for 4 years, you know, not lifting anything. Knowing there's a test coming, and just hanging out, watching TV, not going in the gym and strengthening himself. When he goes to lift that weight, not going to happen.
Right.
Not going to have the right response.
So good. Come on.
And let me tell you something. When the coronavirus hit, and when things happen in your job, and fear, and anxiety, and worry, and stress, and agitation, and walking out of love, those are your responses. Those are not passing responses.
Yeah.
That is not what's going to get you to the other side in victory.
Amen.
Listen, I don't want to be drug up on shore, beaten and tattered. I want to walk in the other side through victory and into a new level.
Amen.
Amen. Our answers matter. Our answers matter. Praise God. Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. So the next 2 or 3 weeks, on Wednesday night, I'm going to share with you what we talked about in that video and go deeper into the PMA guidelines.
That's good.
Because the CDC, Center for Disease Control has guidelines. I'm thankful for it. They're smart people. They know what to do. They tell you how to be safe. They give you guidelines on what to do to stay well. But I sent out a video Monday that said, you know what? I got the PMA guidelines, the Pastor Mike Anderson guidelines. And I told you three things that you could be doing every single day. And I'm here to tell you that those three things will keep you blessed during this time, but will also keep you ready.
Yes. Amen.
For when the next test comes. I think one good thing about this coronavirus, don't misunderstand me, I want it gone.
Amen.
But one thing that it is doing for the body of Christ, waking people up.
That's true.
People that have never had to realize, wait a minute, my job might be threatened. You've had all your hope and comfort in the stability of your job. And just like that, one virus comes and threatens so many people's income.
Yeah.
And it maybe is a wake-up call that, you know what, your faith better not be in your money.
Yeah.
Because what if there's a day when your job doesn't exist anymore? Yeah. And something hits the shores of planet Earth that's way worse than this.
That's right.
And nobody can go outside and nobody can get supplies and no money's coming in. What then?
Yeah.
What then? We see times like that of people in the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
People like Elijah, he's running for his life.
Yeah.
Had nowhere to go. Had no grocery store he could go to. Had no job he could collect pay from.
That's right.
But yet his faith was in his God.
Amen.
And his God provided. And we know that the Bible says that our victory over the world comes by our faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so preparing now with the PMA guidelines will keep you blessed now. But in the future. But I know what the thought is. The thought is, Pastor Mike, I heard you say these things Monday, and I've heard you preach on these things, but how many of you know the mark of a spiritual person is not how many times you've heard something? That doesn't make you spiritual.
That's right.
In fact, if you look over there at the parable of the sower, and different gospels have it, there's four different types of people that hear the word. Where the word is sown. And only one out of the four gets anything, but 75% or three out of the four heard it.
Yeah. Come on.
Right. Hearing it is not what makes you spiritual.
Right.
Well, Pastor Mike, we've heard this over and over again. So what?
Yeah. Come on.
That doesn't make you spiritual.
Right.
And if the Holy Ghost is emphasizing this in my prayer time, in my meditation time, when I'm in His presence, that tells me one thing. People might have heard it, but they're not doing it.
Right.
And it's affecting your answers. It's affecting your increase. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Then it goes down to verse 25. It says, "Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word, and continues therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Not just the hearer.
That's right.
Well, I've heard this how many times. Yeah, but are you doing it?
Come on.
Are you doing it?
Good.
You know, I can't remember when I told this story, but it wasn't too long ago. Caleb thinks he's Mr. Miyagi. I think the kids had like 5 or 6 karate lessons. Well, I'll just tell you how much he thinks he's Mr. Miyagi. Of course, you all remember the story about when he was going to the YMCA and the older boys take his basketball. I said, "What are they going to do if they take your basketball away?" And just in his pure mind, he went through all the things. Said, "What if they don't give it back? What if the person that is in charge doesn't do anything?" He said, "Well, then I will show them my karate skills." As if these teenage boys are going to see his karate skills. Well, then one day we were walking out to the mailbox. Or no, not walk out to the mailbox. I apologize. On the way to the mailbox, he was showing me his moves. But we were going to the woods, and I had forgot my pistol. And I usually just bring my pistol with me. And I had said out loud, I said, "Oh, man, I forgot my pistol." And I always want to have it in case I see a coyote or something that needs to go to sleep. And something like that, you know, and I said, "Oh, I forgot my pistol." And Caleb thought I meant that I was afraid of what could happen to us in the woods. Caleb said, "It's okay, Dad. I know karate." He's had 6 lessons. I think 6. "It's okay, Dad. I know karate." So, I mean, Therefore, I'm thinking in my head, if a bear comes, does come charge me, we're good. I got Mr. Miyagi with me. He's probably home right now catching flies with his chopsticks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to watch The Karate Kid. That's what Caleb's doing at home right now. He's not paying attention to his dad. He's catching flies with his chopsticks. And he does his karate moves in the house. One night I'm walking through the kitchen, and he does one of his karate moves, and I hear a smack on the ground. He's down on the ground. Well, our floors are kind of like a laminate-type flooring, and they're very slippery with socks on. I have told him over and over and over and over and over again, don't wear your socks on that floor when you're doing stuff like that. You're going to end up getting really hurt. But apparently, he didn't get it yet. And you know what told me he didn't get it yet? That he was still doing the wrong thing and not the right thing. Saying it over and over and over again isn't what shows me you got it. What shows me you got it is when you are actually doing it. Amen. And the PMA guidelines, praise God, will not only get you blessed during this time, but will get you set up for the next test. Hallelujah. It's the truth, praise God. Now, let me just say this. I often talk about the Navy SEALs. I do. I have high respect for them. I enjoy Navy SEAL movies. I enjoy documentaries. I enjoy stuff on the Discovery Channel. I just feel like those people are a different breed of human beings. The things that they do and that they go through. And the thing about the Navy SEALs is they are the elite of the elite, the trained of the trained, the skilled in the military. You know, they do all the dirty work behind the scenes, don't get credit for any of it, are off doing missions while we're sleeping and counting sheep. You know, they're off doing things like that in dangerous parts of the world, awful parts of the world. And when you watch these documentaries and watch these movies and watch these shows concerning the Navy SEALs, there's a lot of what you'd call downtime that's not combat related, where there's not a mission. There's not mission 24/7, 365, but how many of you know missions can just spring up or they can plan a mission? Sure. But what they're not doing during downtime is just sitting around playing video games.
That's right. Come on.
Not just sitting around watching television during downtime. I'm not saying there's none of that time. They have recreation time, but they're spending their days preparing, training, getting ready for the pop quiz. If General so-and-so calls up or Captain so-and-so walks in and says, hey, we got a situation, now's not the time to go to the rifle range. Now's not the time to make sure you're in shape. Now's not the time to make sure you know how to use your gear. You're preparing for the pop quiz. You're preparing for the test, amen?
Amen.
And so many people, I'm telling you, this has caught people off guard. Because just going by and your paycheck was doing the job for you. Just going by, not ever having to think about going to Walmart and catching a disease, a deadly disease. Never even thought about even thinking of whether or not you should wear a mask or not. And never hearing the news just pump this like this to, it's caught people off guard. And Christians have worried. And Christians have wondered. Christians, what am I going to do? Wrong response. Wrong response. We're made for this kind of stuff. Hey, boys, we got to go. There's something over in Afghanistan. We got to go. Oh, my gosh. Captain, I don't know. No, let's go. Hoorah, right? Isn't that what they say? And whatever they say, Navy SEALs, get ready to fire it up, man. They're ready to go. That's what they've been training for. And, yeah, I'll just say, this is by the Holy Ghost, by the way, and it lines up with the Bible, so I'm not some great prophet. But this is what I mean. It just came up out of my spirit. It's going to be more intense than this. I know, Pastor Mike, don't tell us doom and gloom. Jesus already told you you'll have tests. Jesus already told you. Actually, he told you that in these last days, men's hearts are going to fail them because of fear. There's going to be things that hit the shore And we see in our lifetime that literal men's hearts will fail them. The faith will fail people for fear.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. This coronavirus and things with your job and things with your body, it's a wake-up call.
Right.
To what? Okay, I better stay ready.
Yes.
If Jesus told me they're coming, the Holy Ghost said it, my pastor said they're coming, I better be ready.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. I always tell you, what's a good litmus test for you of whether or not you're ready or not? Your income goes away and there's no hope of it coming back. What's your reaction? Now, I know people would say, well, duh, Pastor Mike, that's stupid. Of course my reaction would be being nervous or afraid. But that's not the reaction God told you to ever have. He told you to never be afraid. Jesus in the boat with the disciples, when they thought they were dying, he said, it's wrong that you're afraid. If you can't even be afraid when you think you're dying, then you can't be afraid when you don't think you're going to get money.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Why? Because fear's the wrong response.
Right.
And the wrong response fails you.
Right.
And doesn't get you to where you need to go.
Lord,
amen. Amen. I don't even think about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Say, oh, you're just being some prideful preacher. No. I've just actually chose to believe God.
Amen.
I've actually chose to stay ready. So when something like this pops up, you know what the first thought to me that popped up wasn't, oh my gosh, am I going to get it? It was Psalm 92:10 or Psalm 91:10.
Amen.
No evil will befall me.
Right.
No plague will come near my dwelling.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't sit around, oh my gosh, the church offerings have naturally gone. What are we going to do? No, God, you're my provider. You'll make it up. What if it? What about my family and the things it affects? And if we can't get things we need? No. My God meets all my needs, not according to the angel soft on the shelves. Not according to the Lysol wipes on the shelf. Not according to how much beef is in the Wegmans meat department. According to his riches and glory. But I've taken time to stay ready. To stay prepared to have a faith response. Now, I'm not going to go over these tonight. I'm just going to mention them to you because I'm not going to preach the everlasting gospel. But over the next few weeks, we're going to break each one of these down and get them into you. Because if you're not doing it, it shows that you haven't got it yet. Because each one of these things, the Bible alludes to and straight up tells us we need to be doing these things on a consistent daily basis. And I know a lot of people go weeks in between some of these things, guidelines. Well, what are the PMA guidelines? Remember what the PMA guidelines are? Spend every day in your word, in the word of God. Spend every day in prayer, every day. Spend every day with your attention on him in praise and worship. Those are the PMA guidelines to what? Get through this test, but also to keep you ready. If you'll do these things every day when we hit these things the next few Wednesdays and get them in you, if you'll do these things, oh, you will be such a faith giant.
Amen.
Remember David when he saw Goliath? He ran towards him. He trash-talked him.
Yes.
Everything in the natural should have told David, you're in trouble, David.
Sure.
Oh, this is the end of the rope for you, David. You'll be so built up, they could say there's no income coming in for you for the rest of your life. You say, that's all right. God's got it. God's big, praise God. Oh, there's a disease that's super contagious. Not going to come near me. I'll walk in wisdom, but it's not going to come near me. Praise God. This is what the world needs to know. God offers us refuge and rescue from what the world has to offer. And the more you can put God in you, the more you can escape the junk and the bunk and the hogwash, as Reverend Greer would say, that the world has to offer you. So all I'm trying to do is get you so full of God that no matter what mountain stands before you, no matter what giant stands before you, you look at that thing and say, I'm going to take your head off.
Amen.
Praise God. But that doesn't just come by pretending and just playing games and going through the motions. Just like you want to get stronger, you got to have discipline to go to the gym. You want to get your heart rate up and get your cardio up, you got to spend time doing that. You want to work on mental things and get your brain smarter, you got to do certain things. You want to be strong so when the stealer, the killer, destroyer comes, knocks on your door, and you open it, and there's hell and all its fire and all the demons staring you in the face, and you want to look at it and smile and say, you knocked on the wrong door, devil.
Amen.
That doesn't come automatically. That comes by taking time to be full, to walk into the test full. Jesus lived full, praise God. So I'm going to teach you over the next few weeks on Wednesday, get it into you more. Even if you've heard it, you need to hear it more. How to stay full, live full, and be ready. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. I'm stirred up, Father. Lord, I know my heart. I know in my heart, Father, coronavirus is not the worst of the worst. I know by the word of God, by the spirit of God, by the unction on the inside, Father, that we in our lifetime, as we get closer to seeing you return, Father, you think of the things that we've already seen, things like 9/11, things like the coronavirus, different things that the world has never seen before that we're seeing. And we're going to continue to see things and experience things that we've never experienced before. But Father, it doesn't matter. Your word trumps coronavirus. Your word trumps all the turmoil. Your word trumps all of it. Faith trumps the world. So, Father, we're not afraid of those things, and I don't preach those things to get people afraid, but to get people ready. Just like the general or the captain tells them, hey, we're facing a nasty enemy. They don't play fair. They do things. We got to be ready. He's not trying to just scare them. It should put a reverent fear in us to be ready, but he's getting them ready. He knows there's tests coming. This should be a wake-up call. The devil's real, people. In a few short... In a month's time, the whole world has shut down because of a sickness. That's the power and influence the devil can have on planet Earth. But praise be to God. We have authority over the devil. But if we don't live full, we won't walk in it. So, Father, I pray that people would take this seriously. That they would recognize, you know what? I wasn't ready for this. Maybe they're saying, I'm in fear right now as we speak. My money's been less the last few weeks, and there's no hope of my job coming back. I mean, they've pushed things out to April 30th now, and if things get back on track by then, naturally I'd be shocked in the natural realm with the way people drag their feet and things and fear and things like that. And you might think, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, it's a good wake-up call that you're not ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get prepared. Start taking it serious to put these things in you. Hallelujah, that's the realm we should be sowing in because that's the realm we fight from. That's the realm we win from. Father, I pray that this would be branded in every person's heart here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you're viewing with us, and this is all brand new to you, everybody that's watching this, this is a great way to locate yourself of what I want to say next. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Am I 100% sure I'd go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I 100% know. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. So how can you know, Pastor Mike? Because I did what the Bible said to do. If your answer is I don't know or I'm not sure, my goodness, I want to let you know how you can receive Jesus, how you can go to heaven. Jesus said that if you believe on him, you won't perish but have everlasting life. He said in Romans 10:13, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. Going to heaven and having your sins forgiven and living eternity in heaven has nothing to do with church attendance. Has nothing to do as if your good deeds outweighed your bad deeds. Had nothing to do if you were charitable or cheapskate. It has everything to do with what did you do with Jesus? And if you're watching and you say, Pastor Mike, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Don't lay your head down tonight on your pillow without knowing, and it's so simple. You don't have to come to church here. You don't have to go to church anywhere. You don't have to join this church, anything like that. It's about what you do with Jesus. So I want to ask everybody right now to bow their heads and to close their eyes. And if you're listening, you could say, I've never received Jesus. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Let's be sure. All it takes is two things, believing in Jesus and calling on his name. If you're wherever you are right now, if you say, I do believe in him, I don't understand everything, that's okay. You don't have to understand everything. But if in your heart of hearts you can say, I believe in Jesus. He said in John 3:16, if you believe, you would not perish. That belief will cause you to call on his name in Romans 10:13. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm asking everybody that's watching with me right now, pray this with those people. And those people that you say, I want to get in on this for the very first time, I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Just repeat this after me. Yeah, you got to say it with your mouth. Bible says, with the heart you believe, but with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Romans 10, you'll find that in Romans chapter 10. So everybody say this prayer after me. We're going to invite Jesus out. Say this, say, Heavenly Father,
I believe
in your Son Jesus.
I believe
that he died on the cross.
And I believe
that he rose from the dead.
And I ask you
to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that for the first time, send us an email. Give me a phone call. Let me know. I have some things I want to tell you, share with you. You know, now you have heaven. Heaven is yours. But man, you might have a lot of years left till you get there. And God wants to do something for you on the earth. And I can help you with getting started with that. But praise God, he is good. I encourage you, continue to view, continue to show up hungry. Don't forget, Friday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the crucifixion of Jesus and what it meant for us, what it provided for us. It's going to be a time of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. Before we close tonight, let's stand up wherever you are. Let's by faith worship him. Lord, we praise you tonight. We magnify you and glorify you. Hallelujah. Yeah, this just came into my spirit. Someone's having trouble swallowing. You're watching and listening right now. You're having trouble in your throat area with swallowing. God's touching that right now. You say, can God do that? Well, he did it in Matthew chapter 8. The centurion's servant was way off somewhere else in some other home, and the Bible said Jesus just spoke the word and they were healed. We speak healing to that throat right now. And then I know that's specific, but somebody's getting healed right now. We speak healing to that throat. We say swallowing will be no more a problem for you in Jesus' name. Just receive that. If that's you, just begin to thank him for your healing. But please let me know that it was you so we can share the testimony for people to be built up that God's moving during this time. Hallelujah. Let's continue to worship him. See if he wants to do anything else. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody's facing a business decision. And because of everything that's going on, you don't know which way to go. Answers are coming for you.
Amen.
The decision has slipped your mind. It's confusing. You could go one way or the other. Clarity and answers are coming to you. And even if it doesn't make sense to your natural mind, follow what God says to you. Follow that peace. And you just watch that situation turn for your benefit in the name of Jesus. Say, what's going on? I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just worshiping him and he's dropping these things on me. Praise God. A few weeks back, we had this happen with back problems, and we had 3 testimonies of people being healed their back. We'll have testimonies for this. Let's praise him and make sure there's not anything else he wants to do. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy, for your kindness, for your love, for your mercy. Yes, we praise you. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify you. You are the healer. You are the provider. You are our answer. You are our help. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you again Saturday or Friday night at 7 o'clock. Have a good rest of your night. You are dismissed. Be blessed.